Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future with a savings plan from Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
A status yellow high temperature warning, as you heard in the headlines, has come into effect for the entire country, the entire nation, as Met Eireann is warning of heat stress and a risk of water related incidents as well. In England and across Europe, drought and high temperatures are leading to water conservation and an exceptional risk of wildfires, the authorities say there. More than 1,000 firefighters are currently battling a monster wildfire in southwestern France, and it's already destroyed nearly 20,000 acres of forest. A raging blaze there near the city of Bordeaux has already gutted a number of homes and forced 10,000 residents to flee their homes. Meanwhile, here at home, the National Parks and Wildlife Service is today appealing to the public to be conscious of the dangers of fire, given what's happening in other countries. Minister Malcolm Noonan is Minister of State for Heritage with responsibility for the National Parks and Wildlife Service, and he joins me now. Minister, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Cormac.
It's worrying, isn't it, what we're seeing? The temperatures here are yellow alert until Sunday. Temperatures of 30 degrees forecast in places. What is your message today in terms of safety?
Well, Cormac, a lot of your listeners will be travelling out to our parks and our nature reserves quite likely to enjoy this beautiful spell of weather over the next couple of days. And we're appealing to people just to be vigilant, to be safe, and not to light fires or to light barbecues or leave cigarettes. The damage that they can cause to our biodiversity, but also the demand that they're putting on emergency services and the risk to life is really quite high at this time of the year.
So no barbecues at all then in parks?
At all. It's an offence under the Wildlife Act anyway to light a fire near a woodland or a nature reserve.
Oh,
and our
God.
National Parks and Wildlife Service are vigilant right around our parks and nature reserves.
Are they, though? How do you deal with this situation? Because there are fires being lit. There are barbecues in parks. We see them all over the place. I mean, how do you prevent this stuff from happening?
Well, what we've done over the last 2 years in particular is to increase the boots on the ground, the rangers in our national parks, to ensure that there are plenty of eyes and people out there just to work with people and say, advise them, look, you can't light a fire here, you can't light a barbecue here. And there are places in campsites to do that. So I think what we're asking people is just to be vigilant, to ensure that they keep access roads clear in particular, because sometimes people park indiscriminately in different areas, mm-hmm. trying to get out and to enjoy the countryside. And I think it's important from access point of view for emergency services as well. But I think what I was in Killarney National Park yesterday, looking at an area that was burned last year, and while on the face of it, it looks like the vegetation is regrowing, everything is coming back into a lush life, the biodiversity value, these habitats are constantly being undermined by these fires, and I think it has a very detrimental impact, not just on nature, but also on the carbon that's released and then water quality as well.
And given the crisis, perhaps we don't talk enough about this phenomenon of fires in parks and our wildlife settings because of the destruction and devastation it causes. And with all due respect, no matter how many new boots in the ground you have to work with people, as you say, it's not going to work. People will still have barbecues. And as I say, we see them, especially in weather like this. How many people have been sanctioned in the past year, say, for lighting fires in parks and wildlife settings?
Well, certainly what we do and what our staff do, and I was talking to one of our rangers yesterday, and they came upon a couple who were lighting a fire, and just asked them to put it out and explain to them the reason why. And the vast majority of people are understanding of that.
Yeah, so but no one's ever sanctioned is the point.
We've had cases where there have been prosecutions over wildfires. So I do think that, I couldn't give a figure, but we have an increased activity around wildlife crime, around that element of it. But the main thing we want to do is to ensure to get the message out to the public that at this particular time, you know, it's really high risk with these extreme temperatures that we're having.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing, as you said, that the fires across France, in Bordeaux, we see the high temperatures that we've had right across Europe and the devastation that's causing to nature. So it's really important that people heed the advice of the National Parks and Wildlife Service, absolutely go out and enjoy the fantastic weather
that
we're having.
But God forbid, if we had the monster blaze that they have in Bordeaux anywhere here. I can tell you as well a little bit of news from Met Eireann just now that the provisional maximum temperature for today is in your own neck of the woods, 30 3.4 degrees Celsius recorded at Oak Park in County Carlow, Minister. And I just wonder, it's a high risk time. Is it time to deploy the Defence Forces in any way? Will they have a role in dissuading people in terms of their actions here?
Well, certainly we're very grateful and have been grateful to the Air Corps in the past, from most recently the fire on July 19th in Wicklow Mountains National Park, and last year in Killarney. And certainly I've said it in the Dáil myself in a contribution around the Commission on the Future of the Defence Forces, that I do think the dual role of personnel and equipment of the Defence Forces and Air Corps should be given consideration in that future thinking around the Commission, around the Defence Forces use. And it does occur in other countries. Yeah. We're very grateful also to the emergency services. Anytime we have incidents in our natural parks or nature reserves, they're always fantastic to deal with and always there to help ensure that okay. The fires are brought under control very quickly.
People are really concerned about the risk of fires and the risk of what we're talking about right now. But do you know what they're texting us about to 51551, Minister? The energy crisis. People are extremely worried about the energy crisis and what will happen in the autumn and the winter. We've had amber alerts on electricity supplies this week. How prepared are we, in your opinion?
Well, obviously the CRU is working with AirGrid, and we have an amber system alert that is, my understanding, is due to be stood down this evening. And it's a number of factors: low wind, limited electricity imports, and some forced outages. So there's constantly that monitoring. We have an issue around the buffering between demand and available supply. So it's not as we'd like it to be, but I think government is constantly monitoring that with the CRU and with AirGrid.
And should people be worried about a residential blackout this winter?
No, I don't think so. I think
categorically.
I can't say categorically, but I do think that government is preparing for this, the purchase of additional generators, and obviously the long-term solution is to ramp up significantly.
Let's leave the long-term solution to aside one second, because if you can't categorically rule out a residential blackout this winter, people will want to know, well, if it happens, what's the plan?
There's a high level of preparedness underway, and I think that's one thing that we're constantly evaluating and ensuring that we have consistent supply. Obviously, the issue around the low wind output that we have at the moment will not be the case when we come into the autumn and winter. We've had incidents this year where our wind energy output was the highest in Europe, and I think that gives us confidence that we can, with the additional backup capacity around generators, can ensure that we have security of supply.
We mightn't get fossil fuels as we do as readily from the UK, but given the scarcity there and right throughout Europe. Can I ask you about renationalisation? Because the former British Prime Minister, Gordon Brown, has today called for energy firms to be renationalised there as a last resort now because of soaring bills and uncertainty around supply, until he said the crisis is over. Is that something we should consider here?
It's not something we could give consideration to, even in the short term. And I think what government has been doing is responding to the energy crisis by ensuring that we protect the most vulnerable. And that's through the social welfare system, to ensure that families that are on low incomes, that they're protected and ensure that we can support them. And
well,
that will be the case
in the forthcoming
budget as
because well. We nationalised the banks effectively when we had a financial crisis. I mean, you keep telling us in the Green Party that we have a crisis to end all crises here, and you're saying it's not time to look at this consideration.
Well, I think what we've been doing and I think is working with the CRU, working with AirGrid and the providers to ensure that we have security of supply in the short term. The medium to long term, obviously, the solution here is to the rational use of energy, the ramping up of the insulation of homes. And
yeah, but that's all medium to long term, with respect. We spoke with Don Moore, an energy expert, I'm sure you know, on this programme this week. He says we've put ourselves in this position, the worst prepared country in Europe. And that's saying something, he said. We have no gas storage in Ireland, he says.
Yeah, and I think the Irish government is working swiftly to address all of these issues. I do think that particularly, I mean, what we're talking about in terms of ramping up renewables, that's happening apace and will happen apace over the next number of years. And these are the correct measures, and we have to obviously reduce demand as well. But
how did you leave us in this position?
This government has been in place a little over two years now.
You didn't see it coming.
I think all governments over the last couple of years have been trying to prepare for this, but there's another factor involved around the crisis in Ukraine, the invasion of Ukraine,
yeah.
and other risks to supply. So it's something that government is consistently working towards.
Okay, so and it's
to
changed the paradigm then, you're saying. So maybe it is, maybe the Taoiseach is right. Maybe it is time to consider LNG.
No, the government has initiated a review of the energy security of the country, and it wouldn't be appropriate to develop LNG terminals in that case. Our future lies in offshore renewables and green hydrogen. The European Commission has said that Ireland has by far the best potential in that regard.
So that's out, according to the Greens.
Yes, we're saying that. I think we can't consider anything until this review, which is due, the National Energy Security Framework, which is due in quarter three in later this year, and all issues will be considered at that point.
How did the Taoiseach get that so wrong then, so publicly?
I think the Taoiseach has his views. I think the different political parties in government have their own views on it. But our view is clear that we need to ramp up our renewables, work towards developing green hydrogen using offshore renewable energy. And we're putting in the mechanism in place to do that.
But hang on a second. Forgive me for cutting across to you again, because he says he's not suggesting anything that isn't in the programme for government. Not talking about fracked gas now, but LNG is in the programme for government. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think the government issued a statement in May 2021 on a policy statement on fracked gas. I do think that we have to give consideration and wait until the National Energy Security Framework is drafted and developed and brought to government for consideration.
But you're ruling it out.
I'm not. What I'm saying, Cormac, quite clearly, is that we have to give consideration to the Security Framework review.
No, but you're ruling LNG out. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I. What I'm saying is that we have to give consideration to the report when it is brought to government.
Yeah, but if before that's even done, you're saying no to LNG.
What I'm saying really is that pending the review of the Energy Security Framework, that it isn't appropriate to develop LNG terminals.
So where does that leave the review then?
The review will be presented to government in quarter three later this year, and I think at that point it wouldn't be appropriate for me to comment any further.
Well, I'm sure, I'm afraid you've said enough already, Minister. So you're basically, the Greens are saying we'll walk if this review comes back with LNG.
I've been pretty clear, I think, Cormac, that what I'm saying is that it wouldn't be appropriate for me to comment any further based on the fact that report is due to be presented to Cabinet later this year.
Come here to me. In a word, then, I have two more questions. In a word, in terms of given the energy crisis, is it right that we should license more data centres to suck more energy off the grid?
Well, I think Minister Pascal Dunne was on earlier this morning and quite clear that the data centres are supporting the wider infrastructure around the IT sector that's hugely important to this country. And I think the government is working to ensure the energy efficiency of these centres as well. They are part of our employment and part of the economic development of the country as well.
But we're hosting some of the capacity of Europe, aren't we, with the amount of data centres we have?
Again, the longer term, and I have to stress the longer term picture, and it's when I say longer term, I mean a lot of the heavy lifting around the marine area planning element of it has been done by government, and we're now moving into that space where we're ramping up renewables to be able to support all businesses operating in this country, and that includes agriculture, includes the big heavy users of energy.
Can I ask you one last question? I don't know if you heard Liveline or Radio 1 over the past 2 days or so. Gardaí have confirmed today that a wild goat was brought down from its cage at Puck Fair in County Kerry this morning. Is that a decision you welcome?
Yeah, I think it was the right decision. You see that greyhound racing has been cancelled as well. These are really high temperatures we're dealing with, and I think the organisers made the right decision. And I think all through the process, they have worked with veterinary services to ensure, and the Department of Agriculture, to ensure the welfare of the animal was paramount.
And in fairer weather, to finish, would it be okay to reinstate the puck?
It is a long-held tradition in Killorglan, and the organisers give assurance to both work with the veterinary services and with the Department of Agriculture. I won't comment any further than that.
No, okay, so you not coming down one way or another on that. Look, we'll leave it there. Gurumila Magad, that's Minister of State for Heritage and Electoral Reform. Malcolm Noonan, Mila Buchas, thank you.